Well, good morning, church. I got to tell you, there are a lot of folks in here who are tired today because we gave away coats to boys and girls in Wimber. There was a line from our spot at the corner all the way to the insurance company when we started of people who were coming because they were in need. And we as a church were able through our giving, through our time, through our presence, to give the people what they needed. Some people just needed a hug. Some people just needed to be touched for the first time in a long time and let somebody know that you love them. And so that's what we do as a church. We let people know that we love them. And God said, Jesus said, when you help out your brother, I got a little feedback here. Am I in the wrong spot? When you help out your brother, when you feed someone who's hungry, when you give water to someone who's thirsty, when you give clothing to someone who needs it, Jesus says you are not only doing that for that person. Jesus says you do that for me. And so I really believe that when we do those kind of things, we are encountering Jesus. When we reach out to our brother and sister in need, we are meeting Jesus. And so, it changes you. It changes you to help others. Because when you encounter Jesus, you can't help but yourself be transformed. You can't help but be made new and to want to do that again. Because you've met Jesus and there's no better place to be. And I hope there's no better place for you to be this morning than in God's house to enjoy this time together. Oops. Ryan's making his way down. I invite you to come with me into Scripture this morning, into the book of Luke, and out of reverence for the gospel, I invite you to stand with me once again to hear this word. Listen for God speaking to you through these ancient words today. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like these other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast all week, twice a week, and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. God, we give you thanks for this day and the opportunity to worship you in this house. And we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit uses this time and works mightily among us, for it is yours. Whatever words I've prepared, I offer to you as a sacrifice that you will use them to glorify your own name. May I decrease that you might increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week was a busy week. It started with our invitation to the Board of Ordained Ministry, lovingly known as BOOM, to experience with us worship in this place. Our members of the Board of Ordained Ministry cannot be in all the churches for all of the provisional members of our church. And so by video, they're able to experience worship with you and see how I lead and how I preach. And I'm looking forward to discussing with them when the time comes what the great way that this church is listening to the Holy Spirit in our worship. And then later in the week, as Mona described on Wednesday, we had an anointing service here. And again, the transformation that takes place. I asked Mona to anoint me in that time, that I might experience that as well. And I need that. I need that. I need to know that God is always working in my life. And oftentimes, the way that God does that is through people like Mona, people like all of you, praying for me, lifting me up, supporting me, and without that, none of us make it through. That's what we're called to be as a church, to lift each other up, to anoint each other. Maybe not even physically, but spiritually. Our presence goes a long way. And of course, on Saturday, again, the coats and the WAC dinner, so many opportunities to get out of the building and go do ministry. We long for those. We look for more ways to do that. And when you have those ideas, bring them. Bring them to me. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what's going on that you see a need in the community that we as a church can reach out. If we need to collect items, if we need to go and be a presence, if we just need to pray, there are so many opportunities for us as a church to be the church. That's what we're called to be. And so I'm feeling a little winded today. You breathe in cold air and watery air enough, and you start to feel that within you. And I even feel my voice isn't quite what it usually is. And so service is over. Go home. We know it's not about one thing. The music, the preparation that goes into each day is amazing. This church is so much more than the pastor. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And someday the bishop's going to call and say, "Will you move?" And I'll say, "No." We're just getting started here. Thanks be to God. When this story that Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells it particularly to some people who are feeling self-righteous about themselves. Look at the great works that I am doing. Look at the great things that I am doing. And so Jesus tells this story to remind them what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. There is a very obvious hero in this story, and there's a very obvious villain in this story. The hero, of course, is the Pharisee. What great things the Pharisee does. He lives his life according to the law. He is a righteous man. You saw him walking on the street, and you said, "There's a man who has it all together. There's a man who knows who God is. Just look at the way his life is going." And then on the other side, there is a very clear villain in this story. A tax collector. We don't even like tax collectors today, do we? Now, they do it a lot easier nowadays. They send us an envelope. But in those days, a tax collector came to your house and looked around and said, "Okay, you owe this much money." And the tax collector would take some of that money and give it to the government. And they'd take some of that money and put it in their pocket. And so tax collectors received a reputation that they very, very much deserved as scoundrels, as villains, as traitors, traitors to Israel. So very clear hero. And a very clear villain in this story. And Jesus, like Jesus always does, reverses the whole thing. And says the hero, the one who is the righteous man, so he thinks, isn't really the hero. And the tax collector, the villain in the story, the scoundrel, the evil man, turns out, he's really the hero in this story. Because it's not about the works that these men are doing. It's about what's within their hearts. It's about what their relationship with God really is. The Pharisee is thinking, I do all this stuff for God. Therefore, I'm a righteous man. The tax collector says, I've done nothing for God. In fact, I've robbed God. In fact, I've abused God's people. I don't even deserve to be speaking God's name, let alone being in God's temple, let alone praying to God. And yet Jesus says, that's the kind of attitude that will allow that man to leave that temple more righteous than the man who made it all about himself. Look at me. Look what I did. I'm so glad I'm not like him. He gained nothing. Nothing from that prayer. Nothing from that encounter with God. Whereas the tax collector, his life is transformed. Because he comes with the right attitude. The attitude of, God, I don't bring you anything. Except my sin. Except my feelings of just being lost. I have nothing. So I need you to give me the righteousness. I can't make it and produce it on my own. I need it to come from you. Where the Pharisee says, I'm already righteous. What do I need from you? God, why don't you tell everybody else how great I am while you're at it? And it's so easy for us to try to choose a side, isn't it? And oftentimes our own self-righteousness comes through and we say, oh, I am so much like the tax collector. I am so much like that tax collector in that I come before you, God, with nothing and that's all I offer. Look how great I am. I'm coming humble. Oh, but that evil tax collector, that evil Pharisee, how he makes this all about himself. How he makes it all about the great things that he's done. God, I'm so glad that I'm not like that Pharisee. And we do the same thing that Jesus is warning us about in the parable, don't we? We talk a lot about Pharisees. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like the Pharisees. And yet we know that we, as a church, oftentimes display those very same qualities that we see in the Pharisee. Look how good our church is. Look how good I am as a Christian. So glad I'm not like those Presbyterians. I've got to stop picking on the Presbyterians. My cousin is a Presbyterian preacher. He listens to my sermons and I like to razz him a little bit. How we do this, don't we? My church does all these things. I'm so glad I don't go to the other church down the street, the Presbyterian church, the Baptist church. So glad I go here. We make it all about ourselves. We build ourselves up. We do it in our churches. We do it in our social lives. Lord, I'm so glad that I'm on this side of the table giving away the coats rather than in the line needing a coat. We do that. We do it with our politics. Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like that politician who says whatever he or she needs to say to get elected. So glad I'm not like them. And in those moments, we, like the Pharisee, make it all about ourselves. How righteous and good we are, rather than how righteous and good our God is. And when we come with that attitude, Lord, I got nothing. I got nothing. And I need you and only you to save me. And I know that no matter what I do, no matter how much I try to bring you something good, I just never can. And so I need you to give me the righteousness. That's the kind of attitude that God is looking for. Not here's all the things that I can do for you, God. But God, I need you to do for me. In our human minds, that doesn't make sense, does it? Because we're used to being the kind of people who give to others. But our relationship with God is different. What can we give to God that God doesn't already have? God's got enough money. God's got all sorts of things. The whole earth belongs to God. What could we possibly give to God that God doesn't already have? The only thing I can think of is myself, my heart, my everything that I have that I can give to him. And what he gives to me is abundantly more than anything I could possibly imagine. Not only forgiving me of my sin, but offering me a relationship. A relationship with the one who loves me more than anyone in this entire world could ever love me. Would give his very life for me. And doesn't ask for anything in return, just simply to love. And so my challenge is to look at that person in the mirror this week. Take a good look at them. And see them the way that God sees them. See yourself the way that God sees you. Not as somebody who needs to do a bunch of things to please God, but simply is asking for your love. And because you give God that love, your life will be transformed. And you'll be the one, like that tax collector, who lives a righteous life because of the grace that God gives to you. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.